Make this holiday season with the family an interactive one at the Tech Interactive in the heart of downtown San Jose, next to Christmas in the Park. Spend hours exploring fun exhibits together. Build and program your own robot. Design and ride a roller coaster. Engineer and test your own launching device and more. Immerse yourself in exciting new worlds in the largest IMAX dome screen in the West. Get tickets now at thetech.org. That's thetech.org. The Tech Interactive, where science meets fun for everyone.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Hey, this is Kenny Mayne, host of something called Hey Mayne. That's a podcast. We're working busily on season two, but let's not forget about season one. Remember Jemele Hill? Is the cookout ever going to happen, or is it just metaphorical?
It is largely metaphorical. Just know we would feel very comfortable inviting you. Potato salad, by the way, I feel like I should tell your listeners, does not have raisins in it.
If you missed that episode of Hey Mayne, check it out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First and Pod, hosted by Danny Parkin and Andrew Filippone.
I was rooting for the Colts today. I wanted Jeff Saturday to go 2-0. I think there's a lot to say about this game. You all right?
You're dropping all over the place. I just keep dropping things. I'm distracted, but I'm good.
You know, one of the things I want to say about this game is, again, in the post game, Nick Sirianni, can you get off your fucking high horse about Frank Reich getting fired? You barely beat the Colts. If you blew them out and you wanted to be all high and mighty, you've earned that. But when you squeak by and you're trailing by double digits going into the fourth quarter, shut your mouth about what they did with their coach. They've actually, as a team, they've exceeded expectations and played much better the last 2 weeks with Saturday. I get that Reich is your guy, but no time and place, please. You're in their building. You barely got a win. Stick to the game and shut the F up. Okay? So I didn't like that from Sirianni after the game.
It seemed like the type of thing that you would say pregame.
Yes.
Not
exactly.
Not postgame. That it just seemed like kind
Was he going to say that if they lost? Like, it almost sounded rehearsed.
Well, that's what I get his sentiment and like sticking up for the coaching profession and your friend and all of that. But it struck me as the type of thing that you would say on Wednesday when you get ready for the game. Like, no disrespect to Jeff Saturday. This isn't about him, but I personally am disappointed that I can't go up against my friend Frank Reich. Like, I don't want to make it a bigger deal than it is, but to do it, like you said, in their building after the game, it's like you're talking about someone else's business. Seemed bizarre. We've said it all year, though, man. Philly just like finds ways to win, and they weren't that impressive today. Hurts on the ground was impressive. He did it in key moments, and like the diversity of wins continues to impress me. But like I said with Dallas, not special. There's no team feels special in the NFL, with the exception of the Chiefs. And we know that they're flawed too.
Well, even the Chiefs lost in Indy. That was what I was going to say about Philly. I was going to say Kansas City went there and lost. And I know that Butker missed kicks or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was still a lower scoring game. You don't, you know, if you're Kansas City, it shouldn't come down to your kicker in a game like that. So, you know, I give Philly credit for going on the road and finding a way to win ugly, but this is back-to-back weeks now where their once potent offense has not looked so great. From their offensive line, Kelsey had a terrible snap, which hurt a drive at the end there, went over Hurts' head. You know, A.J. Brown hasn't been the freak monster player the last couple of weeks. Now the tight end's out. So they have shown some vulnerabilities here over the last couple of weeks. They won one and they lost one, but they're not playing their best football.
How much of an outrage do you think it'll be if in the national media if Saturday gets the gig full time?
Oh my God. I'm almost hoping for it now that you said that.
Me too. Me too. Just for the chaos, just for the anarchy. Like, I don't know any head coaching candidates like that. So I'm like, yeah,
So you have down for Falcons, Bears. You want to get on the Bears offensive coordinator here. So you watched this game from beginning to end. I only saw some of the highlights. Are you talking about Fields just getting killed and taking unnecessary hits? Is that what the play calling heat is for this game?
Yeah. So like, I'm a Luke Getsy fan. I think what Luke Getsy is doing.
You want to fire Matt Eberflus to keep Luke Getsy if push comes to shove. Okay.
Correct. And I got probably 150 people tweeting at me like, oh, I guess Getsy's not going to get a head coaching job. Well, you don't have to worry about losing Luke Getsy because he had some insane play calls when, like, the broadcast, Moose Johnston was openly talking about how Fields was hurt. And then they're still calling designed QB runs at the end of the game when they're down three late against Atlanta's defense. And it was criminal. Like, it made absolutely no sense. Like, if everybody watching knew that Fields was, he was still scrambling around, but he was not looking to get hit. He was not looking to run. He was looking to extend plays to throw. And he was not himself. The guy had no rushing yards in the second half. Like, it was a real, real tough watch. And I don't think he's going to play against the Jets a week from now. He ended up getting carted to like check on his shoulder. I don't know if it's like an AC joint or like a non-throwing shoulder injury, but he looked like he was in a tremendous amount of pain. So it was completely reckless, given how much pain Fields was in, to do what he did at the end of the game. But I think that Bears fans are completely overreacting to the big picture side of it. Like, he is still going to be on every head coaching list this offseason, because the Bears have no talent other than Justin Fields. Like, I'm almost rooting for Trevor Siemian to play this game against the Jets, given how good the Jets defense is. So that you don't get Fields killed. And so the Bears fans can have a reminder
of how good this guy is.
Of how good Getsy is and how good Fields is.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, yes. like how good Fields is. Like, we need to – the guy is – playing like Superman.
I know. The highlights are incredible.
They're incredible. And so, and I'm not saying he's a finished product. He's not. He holds onto the ball too long. He still gets happy feet.
How are you liking that Claypool trade?
It's not looking good. It's not looking good. I'd like him to know more than five plays. But if the Bears play the Jets with Trevor Siemian at quarterback, Jets minus four and under 45.
It's like a stone cold lock. Yeah.
Under 45, Pony, might be like a $10,000 bet. Like, there's no scenario on this earth where the Bears score more than 17 points against the Jets if Justin Fields doesn't play.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Is that live right now? You can make that bet even with Fields' uncertainty?
Yes. 45 was posted.
No, I'm going to put that in then.
It was posted. I'm in on it. I'm not in for 10K, but there is no scenario where the Bears score points if Justin Fields doesn't play in that game.
Lions and Giants.
Yeah.
I said on Thursday when you weren't here that the Giants season, by the time people are done with their dessert on Thanksgiving, they're going to be in real danger of, in my opinion, missing the playoffs. Because I said all it was going to take was the Giants losing to the Lions, which they did, and Washington beating Houston. And now it's 7-3, 6-5. But if the Giants lose to the Cowboys, they're 7-4, and there's still two games left between Washington and New York, and Washington's getting Chase Young back. He'll play their next game. So,
and Washington's still won two straight, and Heineke's real.
And I think 5-6. Their only loss is the one that they blew late to Minnesota. So, it's still going to be a season that is an overwhelming success for the Giants. But, they looked like they were a lead pipe lock to make the playoffs. And I think Washington now, I bet the odds don't reflect it, but I think Washington's actually, I've said this at the beginning of the year, I think they're a good bet now to finish ahead of New York. After what we saw today. I mean, the guys that Daniel Jones is throwing the ball to, I've never fucking heard of. And I have a passion for that team. I don't know who these guys are. They just gave Tony away. I mean, it's ridiculous, dude.
Well, then he basically didn't play tonight for the Chiefs and got hurt. Well,
I know that, but I'm just saying you watch him last week and it's like, holy shit, this guy's a great talent. And you gave him away.
I know. Shout out to my Lions, by the way. Over 5.5 from preseason.
That looks incredible.
It's back in play. Back in play. After 100%. Winning 3 straight, looked horrifying early. Back in play, more wins already than last year. Dan Campbell not getting fired. Nope. Thank you very much. Man, the Giants are not good, but the season was a success. They should be you should be rooting for losses at this point, even though they still could make the playoffs because they're not going to win anything of substance. Do you think? Because I was with my cousins from New York this week. Couple huge Giants fans, and one of them who I consider to be a very astute sports fan thought he was incredulous at the suggestion that they move on from Daniel Jones.
Oh my God.
He's like, I'm not saying that you give him a 10-year contract. He's like, but what more do you want the guy to do? He's winning with nothing around him. What do they do this offseason at quarterback?
You should text him after this game because he made horrible throws and bad interceptions. And this was the first game where the previous year's Daniel Jones kind of showed came back. Yeah, I mean, I would not want the Kyler Murray contract. If I'm the Giants, I would not want to trade for him. But I said to Gelb on Thursday, I'd consider Derek Carr. If I'm a Giants fan, over Jones, I would do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think
Daniel Jones is maybe the 20 to 25th best quarterback in the NFL.
The legs aren't going anywhere. Like if they decided to run it back with him and draft somebody on some sort of short deal, it wouldn't completely shock me. Just for continuity, like if that big swing isn't there, but they were such a mortal lock to fall apart. So they could eat.
Well, we said it. They were going to go 1-1 against the Texans and Lions. We called this.
Right, exactly. And then the schedule gets tough. Exactly right. All right. So as we move on here, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, your game. I wanted to start Bengals because they're still scary to me.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay. So the AFC has an 8-2 Chiefs team, the Titans, Ravens, Dolphins, Bills at 7-3. How many of the 7-3 teams would you take the Bengals over? Because for me, it's at least two of the four.
Well, we're going to see them play one of them Sunday. They play the Titans.
And that's one of them that I would take the Bengals over. Them and the Ravens for sure.
Over the Ravens for sure?
Yes.
I'm encouraged by that. I'm happy to hear you say that because I did not think you'd get to that place this year.
I mean, Baltimore does not seem dynamic in any way, and they are too turnover dependent. And that is not something that is always going to be sustainable, even though they have guys who are ball hawks who have done, you know, like Peters has done it consistently over his career, like Humphrey too. But
now, are you saying to go someplace and win, or are you saying to cover against those teams?
No, to go someplace and win, man, to make noise in the AFC playoffs. Like if Joe Burrow is going to drop back and pass the ball 45 times and he's doing it with his main guys injured today, against a healthy Steelers defense, and he's starting to stack good games. Like, Joe Burrow is a scary, bad motherfucker, man.
I know, dude. I know.
That guy is not going to be fun.
And this is exactly what happened last year. They were 5-4. They got to 10-7, and that was enough to win the division. Now, I don't think 10-7 will win the AFC North this year. I think that's going to get them in is either the 6 or 7 seed. But I honestly think I'd probably right now pick them to beat Buffalo. I would pick them to beat Tennessee. I would not pick them against Miami. And I don't think I would pick them against Baltimore, but I would be very tempted to.
Yeah, I mean,
I take the points against Baltimore, but if I had to pick a winner of that game, I would probably lean Ravens right now.
I was thinking about him just like in that exact scenario that you said. What a tough draw it would be, like if the Bills get the 2 seed.
Oh yeah,
and they got to open up with a wild card weekend game against the Bengals in primetime.
And Burrow won't be intimidated by that whatsoever. He'll relish that. He'll love that.
Hell no.
I love him. It's so weird as a Steelers fan to say that I'm in Pittsburgh, but I really like, it's not even the respect. I actually like Joe Burrow.
He's cool as shit.
Yeah,
he really is. Yeah. But so your team, like, again, didn't watch every snap, but the defense was healthy. Pickett had his moments. Pickens had his moments. Pickens had the bad drop late. Like, are Steelers fans able to get to a place of, hey, if we've got our quarterback, play well and lose and then build around him?
Yes, but I don't think that that's – I did not sense that that was their reaction to this game, because so much work was done in the first half offensively, and then they only scored three – they didn't score really any legitimate points in the second half.
Right.
They kicked a field goal off in an incredible interception by Watt that set them up on a short field. And then the touchdown was in garbage time. So it was basically an empty second 30 minutes of the game. And then the defense gave up so many points. So I think it'll be a weird day for me tomorrow. I'm not really sure what to expect, but I know after the game, the reaction among fans was not like, say, you guys had after the Dolphins game. It's like, wow, Fields played his ass off when we lost. That's actually a good thing. I did not get that impression at all after this game. So
okay,
we'll see.